Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gonna be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Postable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 57 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, before we get into our normal spiel each week, I did want to say that we are happy to announce that we have linked up with a t-shirt store. It's whatamaneuver.net. We will have our own store, and when the store drops, we will have a new shirt at launch. Scott, what do you think?
Well, you know, there was a lot of excitement when we put out the hashtag FigLife shirt.
Yes.
I think it's going to be at least triple that excitement when our listeners see the design of the new shirt that's going to drop. If it doesn't make you mark out at a t-shirt, I don't know what will. It's going to combine all of your favorite things, that being wrestling figures and the Fully Posable podcast, bundled into one magical shirt, and I think everybody is going to love it.
I can't wait to see everyone mark out for it, because I'm already marking out for it.
You know, it's so good. I'm surprised that Jericho didn't give one to KO during the Festival of Friendship.
Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, sorry to bring the podcast down. You know, and it's funny, I put out a tweet that I've been watching wrestling since 1985, as have you.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen Orndorff turn on Hogan. I've seen Barry Windham turn on Luger. I've seen Big Show punch Dusty Rhodes in the mouth. I've seen Stone Cold Steve Austin turn on The Rock in the main event of a WrestleMania.
You've seen Shawn turn on Marty.
Yes, I've seen the barbershop window incident. I've watched Hogan swerve on the entire wrestling world at Bash at the Beach 96. But all of those don't hold a candle to what went down on Monday night with KO and Jericho. My heart is broken. My soul is crushed. And I don't know if I'm going to recover from this one. This one literally hurts. I hate it. I knew it was coming and I hate it. And yes, I'm still a mark. I still love wrestling that much.
I gotta say, I did like the way that they did the breakup. He got him the list of KO. I thought that was great.
It was hilarious. It was great that the way that they did it, they went with kind of a humorous note there, and you almost heard the crowd collectively gasp as Jericho asked why his name was on the list. Mm-hmm. And then he gave Owens that look, and you could just hear the crowd. It was just done so well, and the Festival of Friendship was so fun, but I'm still so sad.
Going back to our t-shirt store.
Oh, yeah, our t-shirt.
I did want to say that when you see the design was done by a gentleman named Damon Windsor. He is at facebook.com/descendantdesigns, DESCENDENT designs. He is the one that did this design for our launch.
I'm very excited. I can't wait for the listeners to see the new shirt.
Oh, I can't wait for it, dude. We gave a little teaser the other day.
And I'm surprised nobody has guessed it yet.
One person did throw out a guess, but it was not the correct guess.
Oh, really? What did they guess?
They guessed that it was us dressed as the Rock and Roll Express.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We will be having more designs coming in the next few months.
Yeah, we've got some ideas on ones we want to make, but it just depends on how these sell.
Yes.
You know, I think we've got some cool designs to come out after this one. And what's funny is the shirt that's going to be coming out on whatamaneuver.net is the very first logo that you and I discussed even before we started recording the first episode of the podcast.
Right.
We had an idea for a logo that ended up becoming the one that everybody knows now, the Super Smash Brothers pose.
Yes.
But before that one was our logo, there was a different one that we had discussed and knocked around, couldn't make it happen. Now it's come to fruition and it's going to be on a shirt. And if people like this one better, maybe that will become the official logo of the show. I don't know. It's going to be kind of up to the listeners to see what they think. I love them both equally, and I'm super excited listeners are finally going to see it.
So again, that store will be opening up this upcoming week, watch our Twitter. I will pin it to our profile of when the store actually opens and launches. Again, that's whatamaneuver.net. WATAMANEUVER.net. In fact, actually, you know who has a store open on whatamaneuver.net is Vinny Massaro.
Oh, our good friend Vinny Massaro. Not really, but we used to be fans of his.
Yeah. We used to talk to him all the time over at All Pro Wrestling.
What a maneuver.
Thank you, CM Punk, for bringing that back into our lives. Just when I thought that was gone, man, Punk had to bring that up, didn't he?
Thank you, Punk, if you're listening.
You can also follow us on Twitter, YouTube, and Snapchat at Fully Opposable, Instagram Fully Opposable, WF. You can listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Again, please rate and review on iTunes. Those help us out a lot on there. That helps us get noticed. You can email us any questions, comments, wishlists, fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. And Scott, I don't know what you're going to think of this week.
Oh, it's a mixed bag?
It's a bag.
A bag of something?
It's definitely a bag.
Is Mr. Hanky in there?
There's a few Mr. Hankies in here.
Oh, man.
I'm not talking about the wrestlers themselves being Mr. Hankies. I'm just talking about the disappointment that may come at you.
As I'm pulling the gun from my waistband and pointing it at the head of the WFP segment.
Yep, it's getting there. So, Scott, again, Fully Opposable, W as in Wild Man Mark Merrow.
Okay, that's not bad.
Okay. I'm actually laughing before I say this next one. F as in the Lunatic Fringe, Dean Ambrose.
You son of a...
Are you ready for the next one?
No.
Actually, do you want to take a guess of what the next one will be?
Prince Pretty?
No, but that's actually a good one. I didn't even think of that one.
Ugh. It's only going to get worse.
P as in Pretty Boy Doug Summers.
Okay, well, no, that's okay.
Oh.
That's okay. I don't mind. No, that dude, that's awesome. He was an AWA figure, an extremely rare one at that. So that's excellent.
Oh.
That's excellent.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you really crapped the bed on the Dean Ambrose one. I mean, really crapped the bed, dude. Like you were in a deep slumber NyQuil sleep and literally just didn't even feel it come out and just crapped the bed. That's how bad that crap was. But your W and your P were solid this week. Nice job.
Thank you. At gmail.com. I'll take it. Scott, did you do any toy spotting this past week?
I did. I hit up Walmart this past weekend, and Walmart had... my daughter and I, Alana, we actually went to Walmart and did our toy spotting over the Snapchat.
I saw that.
Snapchat. Yep. So we put the picture up of what they had. So if you didn't happen to see that Snapchat, what they had was the Then Now Forevers. They still had all four of them, one of each. And they did have two sets each of the Shield and the Bash at the Beach, Sting, Luger, and Macho Man. They also had mutants, zombies, a ton of basics that nobody wants. And I've officially seen for the first time in the stores an Enzo and Cass. They had one left.
Oh, okay. Dude, I'm starting to find those a lot more nowadays.
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping that they start to flood the shelves and then they get reduced like half price and then I'm going to buy a set to open.
This leads into my toy spotting. We went to Walmart also and they had two Enzo and Casses. And I'm like, that's really hard to find.
Yeah, no, I thought so too. And then we did spot one here at Tracy Walmart. And last night, in fact, we went to Target in Lathrop, which isn't one that I go to very often, but we happened to be in the area. And I checked what they had out. They had absolutely zero basic figures. I mean, zero. Their basics were cleaned out. I'm sure it's no small coincidence that the week previous they had the 40% off sale.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's why they were wiped out of the basics. But they did have quite a few elites. They had mostly all of the Elite Legends. Minus Magnum, they had the entire set and multiples of each guy except for Kamala. They had one. Multiples of everybody else. And they had two Big E elites. They had the little plush guys on the key rings.
Yep.
They had the Tough Talkers. And the only defining moments that they had, I was obviously looking for Nakamura. The only one they had was the Ultimate Warrior.
Gotcha.
And that is the roundup on the toy spotting for Walmart and Target this past week.
We got a tweet on Saturday from one of our listeners. His name is Christopher Dean. This guy has the best luck. He always seems to find stuff before anyone else. He actually found the Finn Balor network exclusive that is now hitting shelves.
Wow.
Yeah, he actually found it down in, I want to say, somewhere in Southern California. And he was like, I just found something really cool. And I found Finn Balor. And I was all, like, Elite 46 Finn Balor? He goes, even better. And he took a picture. And I was like, holy crap. So after I got done with some car stuff, went out to Emeryville and they didn't have it, but I saw the Undertaker network exclusive that we were just talking about last week.
Yep.
I almost bought it, but I ended up passing.
I'm surprised you passed. You sounded last week like you were going to buy it for sure.
It was one of those calls where I was holding it and, you know, as we've said before on the show, do I, don't I, whatever. And I ended up passing. I just can't bring myself to get any more Undertaker figures. You know, it's a good figure, but I just passed on it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's an excellent figure. It's one of those that as the network exclusives start to really flood the shelves, it could get knocked down in price,
mm-hmm.
you know, or if they happen to run a sale on the network exclusives or any of their WWE figures, which they do on occasion, that'd be a really solid one to pick up, even at $15.
Yeah.
$13. That's a solid figure to pick up.
So I did not find the Finn Balor network exclusive. Actually, I had that down in our news notes, but oh, well, we'll talk about it here.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to jump the gun a little bit. That's okay.
Yeah.
It's our podcast. We do what we want.
One thing I did want to say is on Friday morning, I was heading to work and I get a text message from one of my friends. His name's Fred. And Fred goes, hey, AJ Styles Elite is up on Amazon. I get to work. I go onto Amazon. Hopefully work's not listening to this. I go onto Amazon. Sure enough, AJ, $19.99. Add it to the cart. Go to checkout. It was already gone.
Dude, what?
Yeah. And literally, I was 2 minutes from work when Fred sent that text message.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
But luckily, I did find it Sunday morning and was able to grab it Sunday morning. I did receive it today. I think you and I have an unboxing video to do.
You're going to open it?
I bought two.
Oh, you are going to open one. That'd be cool because then we could put it side by side with the FTC one.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I've got mine opened from the FTC unboxing that we did originally.
Yep. That rounds out my toy spotting.
Sweet.
Yep. Scott, news. What do you say we jump into it?
Let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
Scott, in the news this week, we've already discussed the Finn Balor Network exclusive hitting shelves. What do you think of it?
Oh, I like it a lot.
I do too.
I really like it. It really captures that NXT takeover from WrestleMania last year. I really dig that figure.
Yeah, I do too.
They've been dropping so hot and heavy on the exclusive lately, they're going to turn up.
And how crazy is that? The Undertaker just dropped, what, a week or two ago, and then Finn hits?
And it seems like McMahon just dropped a week or two before Undertaker. So these things are coming out hot and heavy. It's like, geez,
yeah.
Are we going to get two a month now?
You might get your Charlotte wish.
I'm hoping.
In other news, Finn Balor Funko is now set to come out in late June. I think that was the FYE exclusive.
Yeah, totally buying that for Shannon.
Yeah. And he has to be in paint.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Also today, we saw pictures of the SH Figure Arts Kane figure. What'd you think?
They're really cool. There's a lot to be said for the articulation on them and the different heads and hands and all that. They're awesome looking. I just can't warrant the $60 price tag.
Yeah.
You know, I'm already committing to the FTC figures. And in my brain, I'm going to spend $60 on two FTCs as opposed to $60 for one Figure Arts. Nothing against the Figure Arts figures. I think they're excellent. They've done a great job on the sculpts. The articulation is awesome. But I can't warrant paying for one of those when I could get two FTCs. I would rather grow my FTC collection and not my Figure Arts collection.
Right, right. And so does that mean you're not getting the Storm Collectibles Hogans?
So, dude, if I happen to come into some money, I'm totally buying that Hogan. I guarantee it. I am buying that Hogan. Outside of that, I'm going to have to pass on that one.
The red and yellow or the NWO?
Dude, I would love to have them both.
We mentioned the Storm Collectibles last year because you saw it when I was at Mania last year.
Yeah, the red and yellow Hogan.
Well, now they showed the NWO.
Now Hollywood Hogan has come out and, oh, dude, I love that Hogan. It just captures the Hollywood Hogan so well. He's got the boas, the shades, the bandana, the outfit. It's just, So good. And hopefully if I come into some money, I'll pick that one up.
Also in news, I'm surprising Scott with this one. You won the Breaker and Bane voting contest.
Starrcade 89, baby.
Yes, we will be recording a podcast with Breaker and Bane regarding Starrcade 89. Scott won, which was amazing because Barely Legal was ahead by 6%. By 6% with 1 hour left.
Oh, dude.
I put my phone down. I saw that it had 73 votes and it was 36-30. Barely Legal was winning. Barely Legal 97, I should say. I come back to my phone after I eat dinner and I'm watching the pay-per-view. And Breaker sent out a tweet that said, "We will be discussing with Fully Posable Starrcade 89. I was like, whoa, 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 what?
So, dude, I really did teach my Twitter bots how to vote. That's awesome. It really worked.
You and your damn Twitter bots.
No, and for those unfamiliar with what Starrcade 89 was basically a whole evening of dream matches. What they did is they took the four top stars at the time, their four top individual stars, which was Luger, Sting, Flair, and Great Muta, and had each guy wrestle each other in a round robin point tournament, if you will. They each wrestled each other one time, and everything was points-based. So if it was a DQ win or a count-out win or a win by a pin or a win by a submission, everything was worth points. They also took their four top tag teams at the time, which was Doom, the Steiner Brothers, the Road Warriors, and what was supposed to be the Skyscrapers turned into the Samoan SWAT team. And they did the same thing with the tag teams they were doing with individual stars. And they wrestled in kind of a round-robin point-gathering tournament. And I'm not going to spoil who won, but it was so good because you got a lot of dream matches at the time. You got Sting versus Luger, Sting versus Flair, Sting versus Muta. And the one that I was the most excited about, you got Legion of Doom or Road Warriors versus the Steiner Brothers. And that was just awesome. It's always been one of my favorite pay-per-views when I'm chilling on a Saturday or Sunday and I've got nothing to do. That's one of my go-tos.
I don't think it would be a spoiler alert 28 years later, dude.
Hey, got to save something for the podcast, dude.
I know.
I'm not trying to spoil anything.
Well, congratulations, you won.
Thank you. It was fair and square, too, aside from those Twitter robots I had voting.
You know what's funny is the editor voted for Starrcade 89.
She swerved on you, dude.
She did. I was all, you turned heel on me.
She was the KO to your Jericho.
Yes. So anyways, congratulations. We will be discussing that with Breaker and Bane. Check out their podcast, BBPH, on iTunes. Not sure when we will record that one and when it will go up, but keep checking in the near future, and we will also be announcing it on our show. Scott, FTC, what you got?
FTC news for this week. They revealed the Ivelisse. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Ivelisse? You are correct.
The Ivelisse head sculpt. For those of you that don't watch Lucha Underground, she was actually a contestant on WWE Tough Enough a few years back, and she did not win, but she competed well. And apparently she's gotten a lot better since then. I can't say for sure because I don't watch Lucha Underground. It's not on Netflix yet. Apparently that got pushed back to... I think it got pushed back to spring, didn't it?
No, it's supposed to launch today.
And then I read today on Twitter it got pushed back. I haven't checked Netflix yet to see if it's up, but I read that it got pushed back. Season 1 and Season 2 are being pushed back to spring.
Oh, not again.
I can't confirm it. I have not been on Netflix today to look. But it was supposed to be today, and then earlier on Twitter I was looking and people were complaining that it got pushed back to spring.
Oh, no.
So it got bumped. So the Ivelisse news of the head sculpt and the outfit, I was hoping to have a point of reference so I could... But not having a point of reference, I can say that the head sculpt looks really, really good because obviously I know what she looks like. The costume looks great. It's going to be another home run for FTC on this one, especially releasing a female figure, I think, is a great step.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of people on Twitter who aren't the biggest FTC fans were like, okay, after the latest reveals, after seeing the Blue Meanie, after seeing Jim Cornette, okay, maybe I will start to kind of give in a little bit on FTC. And as Chris said on our show, that's a win for him, you know, where where somebody wasn't big on FTC and now is kind of wavering and like, okay, maybe I will give them another chance or I will give them a chance. There you go.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And you and I have discussed it too, where, okay, they're in their infancy stage right now. I mean, realistically, look at what they've put out so far. I mean, physically, what they've put out in your hands. They've had their Legends line, which was four figures, the ROH line, which was four figures, and then the Ring plus Michael Elgin and AJ Styles. that's what, 4, 8, maybe 10 figures, if my math is correct?
Your math is correct.
Yeah. So we've only had 10 figures from FTC, and they've got like, what, 60-something lined up to release?
Yeah.
And every reveal is getting better and better, with more and more people coming out of the woodwork and going, wow, that's amazing. You're getting me on board here. So while FTC is at their infancy, and we've said this before, they're at their infancy, but they're only going to get better. They're only going to improve, just like Jax did. Jax was crap when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time they finished, man, they were really good. And for the people that aren't big fans of FTC right now, which you and I are big fans, but for those that aren't, keep your eyes on the product. No need to buy them now if you don't like them. That's fine. But just watch them because they're going to get better.
You and I just love the Jax sculpts too. You and I were just big fans of Jax.
Well, we're just big fans of wrestling figures.
Yeah, that's true.
And having guys we've never had before. That's what I'm a fan of. And it, look, these sculpts are not garbage by any stretch. The body, the types and everything, the Magic Jax dumpster, if you will. There's no problem with any of the stuff that they're putting out. And I'm just excited to have wrestling figures of like Chris Hero and the Young Bucks. Dude, 4 years ago, we were dreaming about having a Chris Hero figure or Young Bucks. And our only hope was that they signed with the WWE and Mattel would make a figure. That was literally our only hope of getting an action figure of them. Now FTC's come along and they're like, hey, you guys want Chris Hero? Here. Boom. Chris Hero. You want the Young Bucks? Boom. Here's the Young Bucks. You want Omega? Boom. Here's Omega. They're delivering big time. So I'm a huge fan of that. If you don't like it, that's fine, but keep your eyes on the product because it is going to get a lot better.
I agree. So that wraps up FTC. Oh, by the way, I do want to say I love the Ivelisse figure. I think that thought that was a home run.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you're looking at the figure arts at $60 a pop. I just can't warrant not getting two FTC figures. Ivelisse and one more, say Blue Meanie. That's way better in my book than spending $60 on one.
My order for Blue Meanie and Jim Cornette will be going in here shortly.
Yep, you got to keep your mind on that $100 free shipping price point.
Yeah, that's another thing too.
yeah. Take advantage, full advantage of that shipping.
Oh, Scott, this week
it's a curveball.
It's a
bitter pill to swallow, brother.
It's an Ephus pitch, dude.
Wait. I wonder if our listeners at this point can guess what we're about to go into next.
Do we announce it or do we announce it after Miz's theme?
What we'll say is, here comes the retro segment, but it's not what you expect. And you could tell by Jeff's excitement, it's going to be big.
Let's get into it.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.
Scott, I'm going to let you go ahead. I'm going to just kick back for about the next 15 minutes, so I'll let you go ahead, dude.
What, you don't want to talk about the Jax Classic Superstars?
I would be more than happy to talk about Jax Classic Superstars, except we're not talking about Jax Classic Superstars this week.
Okay. All right. So, listeners, what we've done this week is to kind of break up, I don't want to call it the monotony of the retro segment, but because Jax ran the Classic Superstars series so long, we're kind of, I wouldn't say we're at a halfway point, but I'm feeling like we need to break up, oh, they're going to talk about Classic Superstars again. Here's series 20, whatever. We're going to break it up this week, and we're going to throw in a series that you and I have actually been getting tweets about, where people feel that we don't give it maybe enough attention and or love.
There's a reason for that.
Okay. We're going to discuss WCW Toy Biz Smash and Slam Series 1, or what I call Toy Biz Series 1. We're going to cover the entire first series, which was called Smash and Slam, and Jeff is literally going to hate every single second of this segment. Because he hates literally every single Toy Biz WCW figure ever made.
I'm going to just kick back and go on the Twitter machine and talk to fans while you read off this list.
You could watch Starcade 89. All right, so while Jeff cuts his mic and goes and drops a deuce, I'm going to cover with you guys WCW Toy Biz Smash and Slam, or like I said, what I call WCW Toy Biz Series 1. The one thing I hate, this released probably around 98 or so, if I had to ballpark it. I'm really kind of running back in my wrestling figure folders in my brain here, but I want to say it was late 97, early 98 when these dropped.
Yeah, I think it was 98 or so.
Yeah, somewhere in there. WCW was obviously at its height, beating the crap out of Raw on the ratings every week. And what they did is Toy Biz picked up the line. Toy Biz was also doing Marvel at the time, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And I saw the original pictures when they were going to be coming out with these, and I was on the fence. And I was not a WCW fan back in the day, but I was a wrestling figure fan. And I didn't like WCW back in the day because I was a hardcore WWF guy. WCW was their competition. They were killing WWF. I didn't want WWF to go out of business. I don't know why I thought that they would, but from what I understand, they almost did, I guess.
Yes.
So there was some legitimacy to those fears, I guess. But I hated WCW. I wanted them to go away because they took all of WWF's guys. And of course, WWF had done that to WCW years earlier, but that's beside the point. But I had to go out and at least hold, like you do now, you hold the figure in your hand and you make the call either way. I remember seeing these finally at Target in Livermore. They had the entire first series, and the first one I picked up was Sting. And I looked at him, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to buy all these. I have to. They're wrestling figures. I have to have these in my collection. So, without further ado, here is Smash and Slam, WCW Toy Biz. We have, I'll just run through the basic line real quick, and then we'll go further detail on them. Scott Hall, Sting, Lex Luger, Goldberg, Giant, Macho Man, Kevin Nash, Hollywood Hogan, and DDP. So in that list, you've got nine of the who's who of WCW in 1998. They really nailed the main roster guys that they wanted to get out first.
Right. And that was a good list of names to put out there.
Oh, you're contributing. Look at you.
Well, that's good. That's good. And then that's where it stops.
Okay. So what Toy Biz did with the Series 1 or Smash and Slam series is they all came with some sort of accessory. They had like a little, they had gimmick actions on them, kind of like the Hasbros.
Right.
But the problem that I have with Series 1 is literally almost every figure had a variant. I can't stand this many variants in a line. Mistakes are one thing, but these are straight up variants. And let me go into detail here. Scott Hall, you could get him in both the red and the black, which was the Wolfpack, or you could give him in NWO Hollywood, the white and the black.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Sting. But the white and the black Sting was way more rare than the red and the black Sting. The primary figure, when you went to the store, you were going to find Wolfpack Sting. If you found Crow Sting, you better pick it up. Luger was definitely, and this is kind of jumping the gun a little bit because we usually do this after all of the names are announced. Luger is by far and away my least favorite figure in this set. He's garbage.
Right.
This figure, and I'll agree with you, 100% garbage, trash. I hate the Luger figure. They put him in black pants, and you could either get him in a black shirt or no shirt, and he came with a police barricade. Then Goldberg. This was the only one that there really, or one of the only ones that there really wasn't a variant on. Goldberg was released with his world title, and what looked to be a Rey Mysterio or a luchador of some type.
Yeah. Why did they throw in a miniature Rey Mysterio with him?
I don't know, but we're going to get to another one here in a minute.
Yeah. Sorry.
So yeah, Goldberg packaged with his world title and a Rey Mysterio. KB Toys actually had a Goldberg exclusive that was him, Goldberg in a black tank top and weights.
Yes.
Okay. Next you have the Giant, and he also came with a Rey Mysterio. But the difference is, on the front of the package of the Giant, it actually said, with Rey Mysterio Jr.
Correct.
The Goldberg was just, and a masked luchador, or a masked wrestler, something like that. The Giant figure actually said, with Rey Mysterio Jr.
Right.
So I guess, really, you had 10 figures in the first assortment. You had all these guys, plus a Rey Mysterio that looked like crap, that the Giant could just throw around like a dart, I guess. Then you had Macho Man. And he was in his red and black NWO gear, and he came with a chair. You had Kevin Nash, who was in the red and the black, the Wolf Pack, and he came with a ref.
Yeah, that one I don't know. I'm tired of racking my brain 20 years later over Toy Biz.
Well, let's keep in mind there was no ring at this point.
Correct.
So you had a ref and no ring.
Yeah, so... no.
Yeah. You're such a fan of this series.
You know what, though? I got to give it up to Toy Biz because I thought that there were some hits with the TNA figures. A lot more hits than misses on the TNA figure. There were definitely a lot of misses on the TNA figures, but I thought there were some really good hits that they did. So if they would have done that with the WCW figures, that they did with TNA, I would have been more accepting of this line. But really, you're putting a ref with Kevin Nash. And then miniature Rey Mysterio, it's like...
Two of them.
What? You're like... you just scratch your head. You're like, okay, Kevin Nash was the one that lawn darted Rey Mysterio into the production truck.
Yeah, but he came with a ref.
Yeah, he came with a ref. Why is the Giant coming with Rey Mysterio? I don't get this.
Because toy biz, dude.
Because science.
Yeah, because reasons. Next, we have Hollywood Hogan, who also had a variant. But the regular Hogan, this is the one everyone probably saw on the shelves. He was in the Hollywood Hogan gear. He had the painted on sunglasses, and he came with steel stairs. There was a variant of that Hogan, and he had a painted on NWO shirt and no sunglasses and still had steel stairs. And finally, the last figure in the set was DDP, and he came with a barrier, and the variants on them, and this is probably the one that everybody saw, is he had the DDP shirt on and a vest over it, and the variant was him shirtless. Let me backtrack a little bit. I forgot to include the details on the Scott Hall. He came in his Hollywood or Wolfpack gear. I believe the Wolfpack gear was a little more rare.
Yes. At least from what I can tell, it was more rare.
Yeah, it was harder to find the red and the black. I think the Hollywood was more prevalent. He was also packaged with a Sting mask and a breakaway table. Sting was packaged with... he had the jacket on, and he was packaged with his bat. And I think we covered all the other accessories starting at Luger. So there you go. Like I mentioned, all of these guys had a mechanism kind of like Hasbro. I forget who had what out of the series, but it was some sort of gimmick where you pressed a button or you pulled their arm back. Like DDP, for example, he was in the diamond cutter pose, mm-hmm. where he had like the diamond up over his head, and you could pull his arms down and let him go and they snap back into position. So you could put a guy into a diamond cutter, I guess. So all the figures had some sort of action like that. I think Kevin Nash kicked. Like there was a lever on his back he could kick, and or Hogan threw his arms down. I've got to say, I really, really like the Hogan out of this set. Not the variant, but the original one that everybody saw. He had the cutoff shirt. The ring gear was excellent. I thought they captured his face really well. I really, really like that Hogan. It's really a toss-up between him and the Crow Sting as to which one is my favorite, but I think I'm going to side with Hollywood Hogan on this one.
I was not a fan of that Hollywood Hogan because his face is just too scrunched. Like, it's flattened. It's compact. And it just didn't look right.
It's kind of cartoony a little bit, but I dug it. I dug the cartoony kind of different look. I was okay with it. I actually thought that these guys looked better than some of the Jacks that were coming out at the time, i.e., Dr. Death Steve Williams.
Okay, I will give you that one.
I actually kind of preferred some of these guys to what Jax was putting out.
I will give you that one. Just the stuff that they were throwing in, the accessories, it made you scratch your head. I remember that DDP, his face didn't look all that great.
And see, that I actually like the DDP face.
See, now, I saw this first series and I'm like, this is a joke, right? Like, this is some off-brand that, you know, some toy company that we've never heard of before that's making an attempt and got the WCW license or something. Nope.
But it was Toy Biz, and Toy Biz was a big deal.
But it was Toy Biz, and I'm like, really? You guys are putting this out?
Well, here's the best part. I think as the line continued to grow, and I've said this before about the Toy Biz line, that I'm more of a fan of their basic line as opposed to the gimmicky lines that came out. And they renamed all of their basic lines something else, so it wasn't like Smash and Slam Series 2, Smash and Slam Series 3, and so on and so on. They called them different things like TNT or Bruisers or something. Every line was named something different. You and I talked last week, or it was the week before, about a Sting figure out of this line that I really, really, really liked. And he had the like a rubber jacket on. You couldn't remove it. But I thought it was an excellent Sting, and that was actually from the Slam and Crunch.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and looked at the Slam and Crunch line, because I had to go research it a little bit, and the Conan and the Buff Bagwell out of that series are excellent. And I think it further kind of goes with what I'm saying, that when they stuck to the basic figures, they actually got better, so that by the time that final series came out that included Vampiro, I thought they were doing a pretty good job on the sculpts. And the bodies too, the costumes, I thought that they did a good job. Like, I actually did like the Toy Biz line, and I have quite a few of these. So my goal within the next few weeks is to go bust through some of my bins in the garage, and I want to get out my Toy Biz figures, snap some pics, and put them up, And I just want to see if I could change your mind.
Good luck. Good luck.
Maybe not on series one, but when you look at like the Conan and the Buff Bagwell and the Jericho and the Rey Mysterio that was not in series one as a throwaway accessory, some of these guys were really good. Vampiro was an excellent figure.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if I can change your mind, at least on the later series of the WCW Toy Biz guys that came out.
I don't think that's going to happen. I will say the Vampiro, don't know which series it was from.
It was the last one. It was called like Unleashed or something like that.
Now that figure was good.
Yeah, it is good. And you know, you can buy it now for like $40. It's not that bad.
40?
Yeah, I saw him on eBay today. I actually did a little bit of research on this. I mean, you can get him for about $40.
Loose or carded?
Carded. Somebody actually has one up there signed.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I thought that figure was good, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just so jaded by so many bad figures that they put out. Like the Chris, that was the very first Chris Jericho figure, wasn't it? Where he came with a lion and a whip?
He was literally a lion tamer, yes.
Yes. Really? All right. Unfortunately, I do have it. And I also got the Bret Hart and the Pinstripes, but I'm just looking at it and I'm just like, no, 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 no.
Those aren't the best figures that Toy Biz did. So what I'd like to do one of these days is next time you're out, we'll go through the garage, we'll bring them in, we'll snap pictures of our amazing Hasbro collection, share that with our Twitter fans, and then we'll find those WCW figures and we'll get those out and take a look at them. I really think you're going to like them, dude. Maybe not series one, but I think some of the other series, like that Bruiser series and that Slam and Crunch series, I think you'll like some of those. You'll at least say, yeah, these are okay.
We'll see. We'll see.
So was that a bitter pill to swallow?
It was tough to get through, man.
Was it like you had pulled out the list of Scott and you were on it?
No, it was like I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, I missed Jack's Classic Series 21.
Well, next week we will go back into the Jack's Classic. We'll go back into those comfy pants. We'll put our Jack's Classic comfy pants back on. We'll talk more about those. But I just felt the need to kind of throw the Toy Biz line out there that we're not ignoring it. We are going to talk about it. You and I are obviously very divided down the middle on this one. One of us likes them. One of us doesn't. It's some good back and forth. It gets the discussion going. And I'd like to hear back from the listeners. Did you hate the Toy Biz line? Who were your favorites? Who were your least favorites? I'll go on record. I absolutely despise that series one Lex Luger, but I adore the Hogan.
If I had to choose a figure that I liked out of the first series, I guess I would either go Goldberg or Macho Man. That's if I had to choose. Actually, you know what? I'll say Scott Hall, black and white.
The Scott Hall is an excellent figure, yes.
I'm not going to go the excellent, but let's not give him too much credit.
You're like, he did come with a Sting mask.
Yeah, right? But I thought that they got his look pretty well on that first one.
I think they did too. I agree. Wow, look at you. You're bending a little bit.
No, I'm not bending.
Yeah. You're right. No, for the sake of the segment, I had to pick somebody out.
That's why I had to preface if I had to choose one.
Okay.
I did say I liked the Vampiro. I thought that Vampiro was really good. I did.
Okay. That's a start.
You know what's funny? I never found it.
I've only found him one time and purchased him. And that was at the Toys R Us, the KB Toys here in the Tracy Mall. A few years before they closed, they got him in. They had that whole last set. And I want to say Mike Awesome was in that set too. But I picked up Vampiro. I picked up Jarrett. And I believe I grabbed Mike Awesome as well. I think Scott Steiner was the other one in that set. Only time I ever saw him. Literally one time in the store. And I lucked out and I picked him up.
That is Toy Biz Series 1.
Boy, you had to swallow that bitter pill on that one, didn't you?
I do it because I love you.
You do it for the show, baby.
You mentioned it today, and I said, I want Scott to run with it. But no, I do want to see I'm actually curious what the listeners will say regarding if they liked the Toy Biz line, if they didn't, you know, what was their favorite figure? What was their least favorite figure? Just stuff like that. I'm kind of curious to what they think.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it too. Obviously, we know everybody hates the grip and flip, so no need to Twitter us with your hate of the grip and flips, because we also hate them. We will not be covering the gimmicky figures like that, I promise.
The grip and flips were already on Who Booked This on episode 52, so.
So they're officially dead.
Yes.
May as well throw the gross out wrestlers in there too. We will not be discussing those at all either.
So out of curiosity, before we go into the next segment, how come you chose Toy Biz Series 1 instead of the OSFTM's LJN style figures?
I think I like Toy Biz a lot better than those. And at some point, we will go over those figures because we had those too, but mm-hmm. They just didn't do a lot for me. Those figures to me, they were just okay to me. I thought that the Toy Biz had more character to them, whereas the OSFTMs were just kind of bleh. Although I would kill for a two-pack of the Blue Bloods.
I would kill for a two-pack of the Blue Bloods or the two-pack of Harlem Heat.
We had that.
In the purple?
Oh, in the purple? Oh, you know what? Maybe you're right. I don't think we did. I think we had the red and that was it.
Sorry, I should have said in the purple. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those got pretty rare thereafter. Like, I never even saw the Blue Bloods in the stores. Not once.
We were actually on the hunt for those, too.
Yes, we were, and never found them.
Scott, it is time for your secret question. Time for you to swallow a pill now.
Is it about Toy Biz Series 1?
No, it's a blue pill.
Oh, okay. I'm ready. But if I'm up for more than 4 hours, I'm supposed to call my doctor, right?
Exactly.
Okay, let's talk about it then.
Let's do it. Scott, before we jump into your secret question this week, we did receive another top five. It comes from Neil Redpath. His top five, number one, defining moment, Crow Sting. That's the one I'm going to be getting signed in WrestleCon.
Love that figure.
Number two, Owen Hart Bone Cruncher. That's like the second time in as many weeks that we've had an Owen Hart Bone Cruncher pop up.
Yeah, one of the first good Bone Crunchers to come out.
That and the Warrior.
Yes, agreed.
Number three, speaking of Warrior, Hasbro Warrior. And it is with Warrior in white trunks.
Oh, okay. Yep. That one's really good.
Yep. Number four, Finn Balor Elite. I didn't ask him which Elite, so we'll go with the original. How about that?
They're both good.
Yeah. And number five, Elite 47 AJ Styles.
Aha.
He said it's because he's been waiting for that figure forever to be released. So,
for the record, FTC had one out like months ago. Some people like it better. I'm just saying, if you can't find the one on Amazon, FTC's got them and it's better.
Personal opinions.
Yes, absolutely. Personal opinions.
Personal opinions.
That's what I share on the show.
So thank you, Neil. Thank you, Neil, for sending in your top five.
Thank you, Neil. Excellent list.
Excellent list. Scott, your secret question this week. I say this every week, but I actually have that feeling that you're going to enjoy this one.
You say that every week. And sometimes I'm like, you jerk. You had all week to think about this when you give your answer.
Yes. Yeah, I can't come back from that. You're right.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, I'm totally a jerk about it. You're right.
Yeah, I am.
And I enjoy it. I enjoy it.
Oh, by the way, everybody loved Keep Sell and Destroy last week.
Hey, if we get big enough, we'll ask Metallica to change the lyrics to their song of Seek and Destroy.
Something tells me that's not going to happen. Lars is going to have a you-know-what fit over it.
Yeah, that's true. Lars is kind of a jerk like that.
Yeah. We still listen to Metallica, though.
Yeah, if you're listening, Metallica. I still love you.
If you want to write our outro song, that'd be great, man.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You guys are in San Francisco. Write our outro song anyways.
Yeah. You're right in our backyard. Let's get it done.
So, Scott, what is your top three announced teams of all time?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I was watching WrestleMania 4 today, and the announced team was Gorilla and Jesse. And listening to them banter back and forth, I forgot how much I enjoyed listening to the two of them announce a WrestleMania. It is literally a pleasure to listen to them banter back and forth and talk about what they're seeing. Because with announcers now, I find myself kind of, no pun intended, kind of tuning out a little bit. It's almost white noise to me. I don't really pay too much attention to what they're saying, aside from Corey Graves, because I really do think that he's getting better and better every single week. But the announcers to me today are almost white noise. I can't stand Michael Cole. Back then, there was more character with those guys, Gorilla and Jesse. They brought more of their personalities to what they did. So to answer your question, my first one, my number one choice is Gorilla and the Body. That is number one.
Okay.
Number two, Gorilla and the Brain. I'm sorry that I have to put Gorilla Monsoon on both those lists, but he played the good guy to their bad guy so well. I mean, obviously, I do the Will You Stop every week. It's just, I remember growing up with that, and he played off of them, and the heel played off of Gorilla so well. Just, it was so fun to listen to them go back and forth. Like I said, they brought their characters into it. So yeah, I'm going to be an old guy here, and I'm going to say Gorilla and Brain as number two. And number three, I can't not go with The King and Jim Ross. That has to be number three.
So we have the exact same top three, except flip-flop, your one and two.
Oh, really?
I loved Gorilla and Bobby.
Oh, I agree, yeah.
I thought Gorilla and Bobby, the chemistry that those two had was mind-blowing.
Yes, and it's a shame that it didn't go longer. I wish it could have gone. It went for a long time, but I can see where you would put them at number one, because not only did we get them on Monday Night Raw,
mm-hmm.
we had them on Primetime Wrestling.
We had them on Royal Rumble 92 also.
Yes, you did. You had the occasional pay-per-view where they would be together, but them together on Primetime Wrestling, dude, when we would see new figures up on the desk that they shared, and there was no pause, so we'd have to like run up to the television and pick out who we could see right away. And oh, that's such and such. And that's so and so. That's our childhood right there. Gorilla and the Brain bantering back and forth on Primetime Wrestling brings back such fond memories. It's really hard to pick a one and a two on that one. But given the bodies stronger, I don't know. It's tough, dude, to pick Gorilla and the Body versus Gorilla and Heenan. That's a tough call. I'm going to stay with mine, but I totally 100% respect and understand yours.
And number three, Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler. They were perfect for that era, that time.
That was the Attitude Era.
You had the seriousness in Jim Ross calling matches, and that guy can call a match any day of the week.
Yes.
And then you had the old perverted Jerry Lawler in the Attitude Era when girls were taking their shirts off and him going bonkers.
Yes.
It just captured that time.
Absolutely agree. Yep, I couldn't agree more.
I do agree with you about Michael Cole. I'm going to give Michael Cole the benefit of the doubt. He's got the old man in his ear for three straight hours.
I don't know how anybody can function like that.
Right. So I'm going to give Michael Cole the benefit of the doubt. I think Corey Graves is terrific.
Yes, he's excellent.
Play by play. And I know we might get a little reaction on this, but I think Mauro Ranallo is amazing.
I like him. I actually think he's gotten a little bit worse since when he debuted. He seems to be botching a little bit lately, and I don't know if maybe he's pressing too hard. I actually liked him more when he first came in, and lately he seems to be kind of flubbing things a little bit. But I agree with you. I do like Mauro a lot. I have a lot of respect for him. But just today's announced teams don't hold the same personality that the 80s and 90s announced teams held. And maybe you're right. Maybe it's because they've got somebody screaming in their ear for 2 or 3 hours a night, and they're not just allowed to call it as they see it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's just not the same to me, and it's just at this point like white noise. Like, I don't even really pay attention to the commentating anymore. But you go back and watch WrestleMania 3 and 4 and 5, and you listen to the team of Gorilla and The Body,
mm-hmm.
that is how you should have your announce teams. Let them just freestyle it. If they've got the personality, if they've got the character, they'll make it work.
Yeah.
They'll sell your product. No problem. They did it back then. And if you let the guys now, especially Corey Graves, just run with it, it'll be a home run.
I was already a fan of Mauro's when he was on Access TV and he was working with Josh Barnett. Doing New Japan. And I thought those two calling those matches was fantastic. And I wouldn't mute the TV because I wanted to hear their commentary. Now, nothing against Jim Ross. This is just a personal opinion. Josh Barnett and Jim Ross, I think they're starting to kind of get a little bit better, but I thought Mauro and Josh were just amazing together.
Now, isn't Kevin Kelly heading to New Japan?
I don't know what's going on with Kevin right now. He left ROH.
Yeah, I heard he's going to New Japan.
And that's another honorable mention. Steve Corino and Kevin Kelly for ROH TV.
Oh, yeah, they're really good. Well, they were, but...
yeah, exactly. But... I thought they were terrific together, even when Steve Corino was under the mask and he was Mr. Wrestling 3.
Yeah.
But I was looking forward to Mauro coming in. I still think he's good. It's just that he's got 19 people. He's got a battle royal going on outside the ring.
Yes.
The commentary outside the ring on SmackDown is like, oh my God, there's so many people. Why do you need a 4-man booth?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Lose Atunga, lose Phillips. Just keep it a 2-man crew. Yeah. It's bad enough you got somebody screaming in your ear and then you got 3 jabronis sitting on either side of you. Like, come on, that's enough. It was cool when JBL tripped at the pay-per-view.
It was cool when he tripped when he went to go save King from Dolph Ziggler too.
That was hilarious. Dude, if he falls one more time, they should just get him a life alert button.
He's going to be on Botchamania, dude. He's going to be like an all-star on there.
Yeah, exactly. One whole episode, just him.
So yeah, I think our top three kind of date us a little bit, but that's okay.
Yeah, I think it did too. I would never pick anybody from the Nitro era, ever. I was never a big fan of Tony Schiavone. He was always very annoying to me.
I agree.
The only guy that I really liked in WCW was Gordon Solie. And obviously Jim Ross when he was there, and the Brain and the Body when they were there. But Gordon Solie could call a match like nobody's business, dude. Gordon Solie was so awesome.
I liked Gordon Solie, and I respect Gordon Solie. I just couldn't get into his commentary.
Really?
I couldn't.
Wow.
It's kind of like out here, there was a famous baseball announcer. His name was Bill King.
Yes.
And I couldn't get into Bill King announcing.
Well, you weren't an A's fan.
It wasn't even that I wasn't even an A's fan. It was just I didn't like his announcing. I thought it was so boring.
Really?
And I caught a lot of heat from, even though I wasn't an A's fan, I caught heat from sports fans in general saying, you don't like Bill King. Like, I just crapped on their porch, you know?
Alternate opinion, rah!
I just respect what Bill King, calling Raider games, calling A's games, but I just couldn't get into him. Same thing with Gordon Solie, man. I listened to his commentary and I'm just like, can't get into it.
Interesting. I know, I think there were a few pay-per-views that Gordon Solie and Jim Ross did together.
Uh-huh.
And it was like they were both approaching it from doing the same thing, like from the same angle.
Yeah.
And it didn't really work with the two of them because you really need that dynamic element of a heel and a face.
Right.
You really need that. And when you've got like Gordon Solie and Jim Ross both calling a show, it doesn't really work out so well. You've got two guys that are cheering for the same guy. And you need that dynamic. You need that kind of cool balance between good and bad. And you just didn't get that with that tandem. Obviously, Nitro had Schiavone and Mongo and Zabisco and The Brain and Eric Bischoff, and they always had that dynamic. I just never got into Nitro, really. Was never a Bischoff guy, was never a Tony Schiavone guy, ever. So I'm sorry, I don't have any WCW/NWA guys to throw up on the tandems.
I'll throw Mike Tenay when he was doing color.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, the Professor's good. He is good. So him and Solie, yeah, you're right. For me, Solie, and I'll agree with you on Tenay, get a definite honorable mention on that list.
Well, Tenay was good on color, but he wasn't good when he was doing play-by-play. When he was doing TNA play-by-play, I just couldn't get into him. But when he was doing color on Nitro, I thought he was terrific.
Yeah, he was sprinkled in, and he was like the cruiserweight expert, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and he could really, really do good work when kind of given that ball to run with, and then when sprinkled in occasionally, you know, during the main broadcast. You're right. I thought he did an excellent job there. But to be honest, I didn't really catch him too much in TNA. I didn't watch a lot of TNA, except in like 07 when Angle got there.
So I guess Vinnie Mac isn't on our list.
What a maneuver. No.
Oh, he was awful.
He was horrible. 1, 2, 3, go. Oh, no. How many times do we have to hear that in a Saturday Night's Main Event, Vince?
2 9/10.
It's like, God, could Jesse just lean over and slug him? Make him be quiet?
I couldn't stand Vinnie Mac commentary.
No, he was the worst. Literally the worst on commentary. I couldn't stand him.
I think there's one other person that's pretty bad. On TNA, Josh Matthews?
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of that guy at all. At all. Zero.
I actually didn't mind him when he was in WWE, but when he left, man, he got an ego on him that wouldn't stop.
Yeah, like, dude, you know they fired you, right?
Oh, also on Lucha Underground, and you will experience this when Lucha does get to Netflix. I do like Stryker and Vampiro. I think they're really good together.
Stryker has always impressed me. Even when he was doing commentary in WWE, I really enjoyed his work. I just haven't got really a chance to listen to him too much. But yeah, when Lucha Underground does finally hit Netflix, whenever that's going to be, I will definitely check him out and see what he can do with Lucha Underground. I'm excited about that. I actually can't wait to start hearing him again.
So Scott, this week we are doing Who Did It Better? What do you say we get into it?
Let's do it. Glorious. No, I won't give in.
Scott, this week I'm going to leave it up to you to announce who did it better, because when you sent that email over, I loved it, and I was like, yep, we're going with that guy.
Sweet. So this week on our Who Did It Better segment, we are going to be discussing the one, the only, Curt Hennig, Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect had Remco.
Yep.
He had Hasbro.
Yes. Unfortunately, LJN was kind of wrapping things up by the time Mr. Perfect hit the scene. So we missed out on an LJN. But yes, we did have a Hasbro.
OSFTM.
The little with the gimmick movable arms.
Yeah, whatnot. It was kind of like the same scale as the vibrating figures, but it wasn't vibrating. It was just a plastic.
Yeah, he did have one of those. That's correct. Did not have a Toy Biz.
No, that was actually kind of surprising.
Extremely surprising that he did not have a Toy Biz, because he was there for all of that.
Yeah, that part I did not understand.
Yeah, really confusing as to why no Toy Biz, but he did have an OSFTM, and that did run side by side with the Toy Biz line. It was kind of like your higher end Toy Biz versus like your Kmart basement bin OSFTM.
He had Jax.
He did have Jax.
And he's had Mattel.
Yeah, that pretty much covers the Curt Hennigs. Classic Superstars. He's been in the Legends line, if I'm not mistaken, in Mattel. He's been in the Heenan Family 4-pack. A lot of Curt Hennigs. He had several in the Classic Superstars line. His Remco was of Curt Hennig. Obviously, he wasn't Mr. Perfect yet. In fact, when his Remco was released, he was part of Ganya's Raiders.
Yep, Ganya's Raiders.
Yeah, and when that figure hit shelves, I believe he was on the tail end of his run with Scott Hall as tag team champions.
Uh-huh.
And then he began his singles run where he became a heel and beat Nick Bockwinkle for the AWA title. So that Remco figure kind of caught him at the tail end of his tag team run, transitioning into a singles guy. And then obviously we missed out on LJN. He wasn't in WCW to get a Galoob figure. And we did get only one Hasbro of him, right?
We had two.
Two Hasbros, you're right. Sorry. Yes, two Hasbros.
It was basically the same figure, he just different outfits.
Yeah, different color. Yep. You are correct. So if you had to pick a favorite Mr. Perfect, which one is your favorite?
If I had to say, it would probably be the Hasbro with the Hasbro in the blue outfit. I think that was the Red Card series.
I absolutely 100% agree with you. That is really my favorite figure too. Yes.
Nice.
Yes, that is my favorite Mr. Perfect figure. It literally captures Mr. Perfect in 4 inches of plastic. They could not have made that figure any better if they tried. They gave it the perfect Hasbro gimmick. He had his arm hooked so you could put the guy in the perfect plex. The other arm swung up so you could actually lift him into the perfect plex. That another point that Breaker made, that Hasbro just paid so much attention to the product they were making the toys for that they made the perfect mechanism on each figure.
Yep.
They really did. Well, except for Brutus Beefcake with the springy action, but we'll forgive him for a few of those.
Well, you even vouched for that one. You said at least you could still do the sleeper with the way his arms were posed.
Yeah, so you could work around the lousy gimmick that they gave it, but this Mr. Perfect was just so, excuse the pun, perfect. They captured his face so well, his hair, his outfit, the boots, just everything about it screamed Mr. Perfect. And yes, we've had some excellent Mr. Perfects from Jax and the Classic Superstars line, from Mattel and the Legends line and the Heenan Family 4-pack.
Mm-hmm.
But that particular Mr. Perfect just captures him so well. And I agree with you 100%. That is my favorite Mr. Perfect figure. Does him complete and total justice.
Yeah, he had the orange tights on in one of the Jax classics. And then that was his first one, wasn't it?
I believe so, yes. And then he also is wearing that same singlet, I believe, in the Heenan Family 4-pack.
Yes. Mattel did in the very first Legends, they did him in a blue singlet. And he came with the Intercontinental title. That figure was good, but the face was not captured right then.
There have been a few where the face is a little bit off.
Yeah, but what they did is they also went back and threw Mr. Perfect in a basic where he was wearing a yellow singlet.
You're right.
I thought that basic was actually better than the Legends figure. And yeah, just a personal opinion, I just thought that the face was better on the basic than it was on the Legends figure.
Yeah, I would like to see another Mr. Perfect come out down the line. It's been about a year since we've had one. I think the last one they gave us was the Heenan Family 4-pack Mr. Perfect.
Yes.
I would love them to release one, an Elite perhaps, maybe in a cloth singlet, and put the Intercontinental strap on him.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome. Or you could even do an AWA throwback.
That wouldn't be a bad one.
No, I think that'd be cool too. But I would love to see another Kurt Hennig.
With him and Scott Hall?
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome. If they could get the rights to make the AWA tag belts?
Oh.
That'd be sweet.
That would open up a whole nother door, put out the Midnight Rockers.
Oh, see. Yeah, now you're talking my language, dude. If they put out a Midnight Rockers I'm talking a Midnight Rockers 2-pack, not a Rockers. We've already gotten that. You give me a Midnight Rockers, and I'm talking like the red tights, the zebra boot cover things.
The sunglasses.
The sunglasses, the strappy things all over their arms. Dude, you give me that set, I'm buying two right off the bat. Guaranteed.
So if this was Toy Biz, they would put Mr. Perfect with a miniature coach.
Perhaps. Perhaps. Or they would make him a magician of some type. Put a little hat with a rabbit in it or something and a magic wand.
Oh, man. Oh, Toy Biz. I guess we can agree that OSFTM, Mr. Perfect, was the worst.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of any of those OSFTM figures that was running parallel to the Toy Biz set. It was discount KB Toy stuff. Just not great figures at all. Just really disappointing. The Remco figure was even way better than the OSFTM. I mean, by a mile.
I agree with you.
And you know what's funny is I actually used to wrestle with that Kurt Hennig figure all the time, primarily because when we bought it, I think he was, by the time we finally bought it, he was already on the WWF roster and was already starting to do the Mr. Perfect thing. So I ended up using that figure a lot more because he was on WWF programming so much. Because we didn't get him until the tail end of the Remco line. He was one of the last ones that we got.
Yeah.
Because we weren't in a big hurry to go by Kurt Hennig and Greg Gagne.
I remember I was pretty stoked to get Mr. Perfect in the Hasbros because I was like, whoa, this actually captures Mr. Perfect pretty well.
Yeah, it was such an awesome figure. They really captured him at the kind of the height of his WWF run. Just they did so well. Again, more love for the Hasbros, right? What are we good for? But yeah, just they just nailed him. I mean, go back and look at it, really, and tell us that we're wrong. It is the best Mr. Perfect figure out there right now.
Yep.
Good luck, Mattel.
Do you remember finding the first Mr. Perfect figure?
I'll be honest, not really. I do remember finding the red card, yes.
That one was at Castro Village Toy Shop, right?
Castro Village Toy Shop. And that was the beginning of our relationship with John out there. But the first one, it doesn't stand out when I found that one. Not like Series 1.
How good was that red card series? The more I look at it, I'm like, wow. That red card series was awesome.
Well, you look at the red card series on, and you really have to wonder why they started winding it down. They kept getting better, and every series was just on point and awesome. Zero complaints. They could have kept it going. Mm-hmm. And that was during WWF's, the start of like the garbage run.
Yep.
You know, they put out the Smoking Guns figures, but dude, they could have kept it going and putting out all of those crap wrestlers that were coming out. And I still, dude, I would have probably had two Duke the Dumpster Drossies. I would have had three Mantars.
What about good old Abe Knuckleball Shorts?
I would have bought two of him too. Gladly, no problem.
Didn't they put him out in a 2-pack on the Jax Classics?
I think they did, yes.
Wasn't it like him and Heenan or something?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, it really made you wonder, what Jax, really? What? Are you out of guys to make, really? You're dropping this far down the list? Why don't you put out the goon?
Don't give him any ideas.
Yeah, Mattel's like,
they
goon,
want to,
you say?
They want a goon figure, huh? Scrap the gobbledygooker, we're going with goon.
Yeah, throw away that breakable egg. Give us a hockey stick.
Those horrible gimmicks of 95. Oh, what was McMahon thinking, dude?
Well, and we've talked about it before. It's just throw stuff against the wall and hope something sticks.
So, Scott, that wraps up episode 57. Again, follow our Twitter. We are going to be dropping when our store will be going up on whatamaneuver.net. Again, that's whatamaneuver.net, and we will have a new shirt for launch. You can also still order the hashtag FigLife t-shirt, $25 flat, large, extra large, 2XL. We'll get that shirt out to you, and I will put in something good.
Like a piece of candy?
No, candy will melt by the time it will get there.
We're getting into allergy season, so how about a throat lozenge? Or perhaps a Benadryl?
No, because what if that person chokes on the throat lozenge?
Oh yeah, that's yeah.
Then I'm gonna be feeling bad or something like that, or you know.
And then said person might die and can't buy any more shirts from Fully Posable. So yeah, that's a good point. No throat lozenges.
Yeah, he can't DM us and say, "Hey, I want a hashtag Fig Life T-shirt," or go onto whatamaneuver.net and get the new logo.
Perhaps a Hostess cupcake.
That is soft and chewy. That could stand through a. Nuclear war or something? Not a nuclear war, a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, those are Twinkies, dude.
Oh, wait, those won't be able to?
Twinkies can. I don't think the cupcakes can.
Oh. It was cool in Zombieland when Woody Harrelson wanted Twinkies.
Who can blame him?
And he got snowballs.
Yeah, that was hella funny.
I gotta go back and watch that movie, dude. Follow us on Twitter and we will drop when the shirt goes up. And when our store goes up, I should say. YouTube, Snapchat, at Fully Posable. Scott, we got to do the unboxing video of the AJ, do a side-by-side comparison.
We will.
Yep. Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. Again, you can listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. And you can email us any questions, comments, wishlists, fullyposable, WFP@gmail.com. Scott, for episode 57, anything else?
Happy toy hunting.
Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.